Fish biologists are struggling to find answers to such questions as why the Chinook salmon are coming back younger and smaller with more young male jacks. They don't have any clear answers yet, but scientists like Jan Ulberger with the University of Washington are ready to discard old ideas, like the hypothesis that directed fishing for large male king salmon on popular sports fishing rivers like the Kenai is responsible for the decline of the big trophy kings. He looked at Alaskan fish throughout the state and saw the same trend.
When we look at the older ocean ages, they all decline in size, and especially for the Ocean 4 and Ocean 5, there's a pretty strong declining trend. Now, there's actually very little variability in a given state, so they all follow this declining trend.
Jared Siegel at the University of Alaska Fairbanks has been studying the returns in a couple of southwest Alaska rivers that are not heavily fished by anyone, and he found that warmer seawater temperatures resulted in faster growing but smaller males.
Meaning we had smaller, younger males, our jacks in these populations were maturing at smaller sizes at warmer temperatures, and this appeared to create a stronger relationship in males, while all of our other measures for females and our older males were largely independent of temperature.
Siegel suggests that warmer oceans may mean that Alaska salmon will become more like stocks down south that mature younger and smaller. The question for scientists remains whether these results are limited to ocean conditions or if they're also set up by changes in the rivers where Chinook spend their first year before heading out to sea. Biologist Catherine Miller with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration spent 3 years looking at Yukon River Chinook salmon. The 3 years were very different. The first was cold, but the ice melted slowly away with no chaotic spring breakup. The second was warmer, and the third year was just plain hot. She found the fish looked the same, but had different amounts of energy or fat levels in them at the end of the year to help them survive at sea. But that really did not tell Miller anything about what is normal.
I don't think I know what's normal. There has been a huge amount of variability. Variability in catch, variability in size, variability in environmental conditions.
Biologists have not done the research needed to know what is normal in a species like salmon that experiences huge fluctuations in run size and migrates between ocean and river systems. Scientists do know that salmon in the north have a different temperature tolerance than salmon populations down south.
So we're seeing these higher temperatures, and the question is really adaptation. Can our fish adapt? A southern fish may be able to get to 20 degrees C or 24 degrees C. Can a Yukon River fish? These are cold water adapted fish.
That's one of the reasons Miller thinks it's important to look at the young, tiny Chinooks in the rivers, especially a large and long river like the Yukon. She had hoped to continue the study, but does not have the funding. Most of the money in fisheries research is centered in something called recruitment. How many of the young fish or spawning biomass become adult fish that can be harvested? This work is centered on big money species like pollock and crab. The assumption is the larger the spawning mass, the more recruitment. But with the oceans warming and conditions changing, it's become clear there's no relationship between the two. Even the people that make models from fishery data are now saying it would be better to look at how the fish are growing because that reflects the marine environment and whether the fish are getting what they need. Here's where bird biologist Doug Cossey comes in. He's been conducting an isotope study in the Aleutian subarctic and in the Greenlandic high arctic. By looking at the isotopes in various bird species, he can find out what they've been eating and further down the food chain to what the bird's prey have been eating. The maps he presented, comparing the isotope studies done in 2000 with the ones he's working on in the Greenlandic high arctic, reveal a rapid unraveling and disintegrating marine food chain.
The food web structure is destabilized. It's very likely in a transition, very likely going to go to another stable conformation, but it is not what was. Over this brief amount of time, the food webs in the high Arctic and in the low Arctic is ever getting increasing variance, which means that it's getting harder to predict. The food web is decreasing in complexity. There's a rapid fine-scale change in species diversity and richness, and that the largest effect is seen in the high Arctic, but the low Arctic shows the same pattern.
Most of the scientists in the room did not realize this was happening. Change is occurring so rapidly in the oceans that scientists don't really understand it. The approach used by federal and state fisheries managers assumes an environment that's fairly stable. That doesn't exist anymore. Those assumptions no longer reflect the reality, and it's not clear what scientists can use instead. The only thing that is clear is that fish biologists, the managers that depend on their understanding, and the people who depend on the fish are in for a wild ride as the oceans warm, especially if the rate of warming continues to increase. I'm Johanna Urich.